96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Grand Bahama News, Kelly's Home Center, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Monday afternoon here, November 4th, a day away from D-Day, the election day. A little later, we're going to get diving into this conversation. I should have Garth and Ambassador Devin Rowe being able to sit with me and see if we can have a continuation of that conversation that we had on Friday, which I truly enjoyed. And we can be able to do those things. But before I dive into anything and trying to chop it down, I got to say a shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. I always tell you about them. They got everything laid out. Make sure you go and check them out. AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. If you're in the market and you're looking for, you know, some STs, some taxis, and liveries, the insurance for those things that you've just gotten, you can be able to check out AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They do in-house financing. You can't beat that thing. In-house financing. So go down there, check them out, and they take very, very good care of you in that stead. Make sure you give them a call, 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. They can take very good care of you in those areas. And then also, I got to let you know to join the Nassau Guardian as we celebrate our milestone of 180 years, 180th year anniversary on November 23rd this month, beginning of Monday, November 4th, which is today. And every day this month, we feature a blast from the past, highlighting pages from our oldest and most respected newspaper of record over the past 18 decades. Wonderful snapshots of the Bahamas transitioning from abolition of slavery to the period of internal self-governance and independence and into the 21st century. Surprising, surprising keepsakes for history buffs or anyone who just loves the Bahamas. Guys, make sure you check out our newspapers, the Nassau Guardian. All the information's in there. We're going to be celebrating the entire month of November. This November, I'm celebrating 21 years also. 21 years married. We're going to be celebrating on November 22nd. I'm still trying to figure out if I should, but you know, I think I should take some time off. You know, the woman would like that. Praise God. We can be able to do those things, okay? Guys, pick up your Nassau Guardian, all the information's in there. You can see exactly what's going on. Middle-class families need $10,000 a month. Mother sick. This is ridiculous. I just want to read it. UB Studies looks at the cost of living for middle-income families in New Providence. University of the Bahamas study has found that the middle-class families of four in New Providence need a monthly income of $10,200 and have to have a decent life or $10,100 a month in living in Grand Bahama. What is it? That means people out here dying. Let's have a good conversation and talk about it, right? So it says the findings are contained in UB research that is done by Lesvie's Archer's paper, and you can be able to find out more information. It says, how much does it cost to be a middle-class family in the Bahamas? and then it's published on October 23rd, 2024 in the International Journal of Bahamian Studies. This study also includes updated cost of living estimate for a low-income family of four. Archer was lead researcher for of the paper. You know, you could actually look back at the paper and find out some stuff. They haven't done this, and this is sort of an update from 2014. But this is tremendous. $10,000 a month. The average middle class family that we perceive as middle class, I guess, is working class in this country. They make about, I want to say, about $3,200 if they're married. Let's give them an average of $3,200 a couple, $3,200 a person. So that's like $6,400 a couple. So they're falling significantly short, $3,200 a couple. And then they get a couple kids or whatever the case may be. It's truly expensive living out here. And then when you see numbers like this, $10,000 a month, you start to think about this. And you say to yourself, you know, we really need to reconsider the fact of living in the city. Where do we go from here? The report actually indicates all those things. Guys, pick up the National Guardian newspaper. You can be able to find out more, all the information and see exactly what's what. I want to be able to talk about this more specifically. Monroe says that plea bargains needed. You can be able to read that story and see exactly what's what. But I wanted to touch this. I thought it's significant to be able to touch this. The FNM, we stand with victims of domestic violence. I just want to touch it. It says that the Free National Movement, FNM, said yesterday that it stands with the victims of domestic violence and promised to work alongside victims for a safer Bahamas. The statement came in the wake of the acquittal of North Abaco MP Kirk Cornish, who was accused of raping, assaulting, and threatening to kill former girlfriend. He denied the charges. This is information. He denied the charges. The FNM said that the court has spoken and we respect the rule of law. As we move forward, our thoughts are with the victims of domestic violence. I just want to say something. As I hold my head and have this kind of a conversation with you, I just want to say something. I don't want to go with the colloquialism and being able to say to you that Peter know better than Paul. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say to you anything that sort of hits your mind in the rhythm of something that you've heard before, but I want to be able to drive this home to you. I want to drive home where there were candidates, and we need not call names, that stepped back within the organization based upon these allegations, these very same allegations. Candidates who were prepared to move towards ratification. Candidates who have been ratified and stepped back. In a particular state, there was speculation, there were talks during your time of being able to identify whether or not these persons, your vetting process, you would have identified persons that you've chosen who allegations were levied against them. I'm not saying that you should not take this position, but I'm saying to you that this exists within the confines of your organization also. Whether it be the allegations, because that's how the story is structured, the speculations, the soft murmurs in society. It's very difficult to take on a political line and have a conversation that can bring light to your organization to show that we're different than those guys. When you recognize that all of us are made of the same ilk from a political standpoint, all we are is separate in our political beliefs. These are the same people in the FNM and the same people in the PLP. There's no different. There is no different. There are allegations levied right now. Right now. Listen, this is allegations. These are allegations that have been spoken out loudly about members right now who are members of parliament. Right now. And you said nothing about it. It's just bananas to me to take. This is low. This is low life. Activity from a political standpoint, and someone has to say this to you. This is low. This is a tit for tat on the lowest this is the lowest vibration of politics that you can offer. Just to be able to say you're saying something, I think it's bananas. I think you make a case in terms of being able to put it forward. I think you can be able to identify those things. But unless and until you can be able to say that we're washed clean of this, there's no one in our organization does this ever. You should not respond to these particular, especially how the government, judicial arm has already rendered a ruling. Let's be decent about it. Let's be decent about it. Your organization is a collaboration. It's a culmination of different mindsets, backgrounds, beliefs, how they grew up, and they now are part and they sit under the umbrella of the organization. And you seek to be able to almost denigrate. And that's really what it is. This is, well, we respect what the courts have said, but, you know, I just want you to know that our hearts and minds are with the families of the victim. What are you doing? What are you doing? Say nothing about this. I will never forget having a conversation with Redmond Wells. I will never forget it. I will never forget Redmond Wells talking about the LOI. Redmond Wells was on every single station talking about the LOI issue. He went to Steve and, you know, we pick it up in Grand Mahama. And I had to call in. And all I said, because I like Redmond Wells. I watch Redmond Wells. I like his growth and whatnot. I remember this. And if he's going to be honest with you, he would remember my call. We could pick this up. I said, listen, I only can say this to you. I can tell you what old people say. Hold your tongue and save your life. You have a great deal to do from a political standpoint. There's no need to continue to ride this horse. Say nothing. It's done. Everyone already didn't see exactly what this is. Hold your tongue and save your political life. Renwell started talking. He said, I take this advice, similar to advice that I would have gotten from my great mentor and the person of Dr. Miles Monroe. And he started to go on like that. I said, yeah, I appreciate it. But that ain't what I call you. Just don't say nothing no more. I don't want to hear nothing else about this. Because the more you ride this out, the more that people are going to look at you in a particular light. I didn't hear anything else from Renwood. I can't say that he hasn't said it. I said, I didn't hear anything else from him, not from Grandmama. The Free National Movement sitting in this posture and position, looking to be able to be the next government of the Bahamas. You're having your, whatever this exhibit thing is that you're doing within the organization right now to ensure that you could equip those persons who seek to be members of parliament to move in a particular direction, whatever you're doing within the organization. I commend you for that. But I want to say to you that you need to be able to reapproach this concept and idea from your media. What you allow to come out in the organization will be scrutinized. You're not the PLP. You're not. You are not the PLP. Your judgment is significantly higher because of the standard that you've set from your foundation. You are not the PLP. You are not. You will never be judged like the PLP will be judged. You won't. There is an expectation for you to always be above board and go higher. This low vibration that is coming from the organization right now to respond to these things, it is bananas to me. I just want to be decent. You could fight me, you could call me, you could cuss me, but when you read this, you would realize that this is garbage. Absolute garbage. And you need to find real money to pay someone to help you with this, because this would be your demise. We're not talking about what you're doing in terms of organizing people, in terms of setting up. What you're putting out in the paper, what people ingesting every day, causing us to question the support, many persons. These are the same people I supported yesteryear. This can't be. What happened? You got to be able to regroup. I just want to say that. Regroup. Prepare yourself to be able to move in the direction that you've been called to move in and take on this mantle and understanding that you are not the PLP. PLPs are masterful as it relates to marketing, but they also know their audience. They know their audience. When they come out, they say all the pleasantries, and after they finish with that, they identify their audience instantaneously, PLPs. When they punctuate their section, their sentences, when they punctuate their presentations, they punctuate it with a very clear understanding, PLPs. You are not that. You, the Free National Movement, have catered to all those minds that have grown, that have expanded, that have explored, and are seeking a way out of the tradition. But to take this route, you have to question yourself. What are you doing? Why touch this? This sensitive as this is. Don't fight me. Talk to me about it. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up 422-4796. If you did not read the article, it's in the paper. The FNM, we stand with victims of domestic violence. The Free National Movement has taken on this kind of position to talk about that. Going to take a quick break when we get back, chop those things down, but we're definitely going to be talking about what's going to be happening tomorrow in the United States of America. Quick break, be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. Attention Marco's pizza lovers in Freeport and to our Cable Beach customers. We have heard you. Marco's $10 carryout, one large, one topping pizza is now available at all locations. That's right. Whether you live out east, west, central, south, or in Freeport, Marco's has you covered. Call in or order online and pick up in restaurant today. Marco's is getting bigger and better by the moment. This unbeatable deal is available for a limited time only.
This holiday season, stay connected to the ones you love with Alive. Switch today and get 5 gigabytes of data free with your first 30-day plan. Whether you're sharing holiday moments or enjoying Junkanoo Bay, Alive keeps you connected all season long. Visit BeAlive.com to make the switch today. It's good to be alive.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Live and in full effect. The lines are wide open if you want to be a part of the conversation. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
I am doing just fine today. I don't know what your conversation, what is your conversation
today? No. Well, you know, we started the monologue and I wanted to talk today about, I'm waiting on Garth and Ambassador.
So that's an open line?
Yeah. We could talk today.
Okay, all right. Yeah. What I want to say is, I think the Bahamians missed the opportunity today. The day I just came from a protest, social services. I don't know if you heard or you're aware of what's going on.
A protest of social services? Tell me about it.
A protest that took place of social services this morning at the home. Not really social services. At the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Shelter on Bernard Road.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, how would they have persons in the shelter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who they gave like 3 months. I think it's 3 months from maximum to stay. Mm-hmm. And once that 3 months is completed, they will put them out and bring in some other person.
So it's like a halfway house.
you know, they take you out and bring another person off the street, so they came as homeless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Homeless out, homeless in. Because the person who in for 3 months, pretend you in there and you don't have a job out, you don't have a home, you don't have family. The family ain't family today.
Am I still overweight while I in there? Just let me know. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
So they're putting you out of this shelter now, and they're looking for you now to stand on your feet and stand for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not providing no job, because if you're going out on the street too far, you need a job. You need a home, first of all, right? Person, we as Bahamians, we don't know what happened in this country, you know. We all in our own little bubble, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Take a drive on the, at least I'm hearing this now, I'm not saying this in my eyes. Okay, and I'm hearing this from a reliable person. Drive on the beach in the nighttime. Drive on the gas. Take a drive during these gas stations, parks, and other places. And you see these cars pull up there. Family living in vehicles. Okay? Family members just sleeping on benches.
Right here in Nassau.
Okay? Right here in Nassau. Okay? Mm-mm. Family members sitting on the beach all night. Not even laying down. Just sitting up. Okay? With a blanket, some of them. Then we come out at night, you know, drive 1:30, around 2 o'clock, random time, what they call ghost time, and you'll see what's happening. All we call for a couple persons to stand with us, okay? Not for the person who they putting out the day or tomorrow, but for the system itself to change, right?
Okay, so let me ask
we
you.
We understand, before you get to the Howard, that they have like about 30 unrenovated rooms where they need persons to must be fixed up, right? In order to must be have sufficient people or take in so much people, right? Instead of they ask, not that they ask for help, because this government spend money on all kinds of stuff now, Howard. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They spending money on all kinds of stupidness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They signing contracts for all kinds of people. And, mm-hmm. you know, and they just waste them. So if you can't renovate a shelter to shelter your people in.
This is shelter on Burden Road.
This is a shelter on Bernard Road.
Mm-hmm.
And put something in place whereby the persons who now in that shelter find a job for them to do. Find something for them to do. And once they're working and able to go there and take care of themselves, then you can feel right within yourself putting them on the street. But you can put somebody on the street and they're looking you in your eye, the tears telling you, I don't have no way to go. You think that's a joke or something? Then you got to take in someone from that shelter and have them in your home taking care of them. They don't have no family. They don't have nobody. Right here in the Bahamas, we call home. And then when I'm looking for around for the person who they're taking care of, the needy, the poor, the shut-in, nobody. The people who just come out of church yesterday, sitting up, lifting holy hands to God, where are they? Nothing changed unless in numbers hour. You realize that?
Yeah.
We have to come out as Bahamians and we got to stand up for our people, okay? We have it bad in this country. This system is killing us. We need to change it. And this ain't political, you know. It's just me talking as a Bahamian. We need to change the system. Stop saying these people got family because they don't have no family. Family ain't family no more. These families know they got people in them shelter, but they can't. Some of them can barely take care of themselves. And instead of this government who claims they care for people, you know, they may try to fix that problem, build a shelter, renovate that shelter, or do some rent a building, do something. You have 30, you have 60, almost 100 rooms. Half of the room needs renovation. And the other half, you just keep turning over and recycling, putting in some and taking out some. You don't have nothing in place for those people. When you put them in there, you have to have a plan. So that's where I just came from, our all morning. And if they call me again tomorrow, I'll be right back there again.
So they
you want
they,
to ask me something?
I can ask you a couple questions. So they protesting the conditions that's happening on Burnett Road for these particular families. Hello?
Say again. Go
I
ahead.
Said they pro- again. They protesting the positions
mm-hmm.
and the conditions that happening with those families and those individuals on Burnett Road.
Howard, not so much the condition. The mm-hmm. protest is about putting these persons out on the street.
After the 90-day period?
After the time has expired, they put them in for some time, and then they put them out.
So what was the expectation? What's the expectation? After the transitional period is 90 days. So the government provides you shelter, support. I don't know if they give you food. I suppose they give you food or whatever they give you within this 90 days. What is the expectation that you should get done within 90 days?
They don't have no plan. Apparently not. They don't have nothing in place whereby they could try to like find job mostly for these people or have some other alternative like another home or check with them. See if some of them have family who could assist. Nothing. Okay. They just take them in. And look at your time up. I got some more people to bring in, so you have to go. That cannot be it. That's the system itself. And not maybe just under this government, you know. This has been happening for some time.
This
has to change.
The first time that I remember this place being engaged on Burnett Road was after the persons came down from Hurricane Dorian in Abaco, right? Between Abaco and East Grand Bahama, a lot of persons, and the government was looking for places to put them. Now, the government placed them there and in Landshark and some other spaces throughout Nassau, right? Now, those places aren't owned by the government.
Social services, this shelter is owned and operated by the government.
So they acquired it.
Oversee that shelter.
Okay.
We know that for a fact.
They acquired it then. Okay. All right, so I need to get some more information about this, about the support for individuals given. I'm going to let you go. I thank you for your telephone call. I got to get some more information about this, about the support given to those individuals within that 90 days, about whether or not there is a collective responsibility or collective approach from the government to ensure that we can be able to put your name in a particular arm of our system that you'll be able to get support from social services, labor, the training department to be able to develop your soft skills if you need those particular things. These are the things that I need to know. And if that's the case, then 90 days is not a sufficient time. 90 days won't be a sufficient time. But if the government is only providing you shelter for 90 days and this is the contractual position, then I guess we can have a conversation. Let me take the next telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Everything's all right. Just two quick points. I understand and I could hear just the passion and concern and hurt that the caller just now expressed about the state of affairs of our brothers and sisters in the country who could be, you know, find themselves in tough times.
Yeah.
And it just really underscores the fact that we've all shifted our positions from caring for one another. And we throw the responsibility on the government. We throw that on them, but really you are to be your brother's keeper. And I guess all of us could do that in our regard.
I agree.
But I think the responsibility we have to also ask, you have to ask the church to do more of the role that they're mandated to do, rather than to simply say, I'm going to get your soul ready whilst I live in a certain vessel. I still think that the responsibility of this community of behemoths is to allow us to look at one another, see how best we can support, help, and assist, and through the organizations like civil society, like the politicians who have their legislative duties to do, but also the church, who has magnificent opportunities and not maximizing those. You have buildings that could house people empty, littered across this country. I don't understand how that isn't something that they even offer as a hospice to many of these persons who need somewhere to lay their head. So I'm not here to point fingers at any one particular group, but I'm saying I think there are things that can be done, but we have to be honest about are we really interested in helping our brother and our sister. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you so very kindly for being able to do that. I just won't be able to shoot straight with you. I don't think like you. I don't think like, when I don't mean the caller, I don't think the general population. I really don't. I really don't. I don't think that. I never sit down. Somebody got to do something. I told you that. That's just not me. I don't know how to do that. If this thing bothering me, this is bothering me so much. Oh, Jesus. I will sit down and try to figure out how I can do this. Because I'm of that belief. And I don't know whether or not that's my faith. Or I don't know if that's my makeup, but I really believe that in the event that we find ourselves pricked by something, in the event that we find ourselves bothered by something, if this thing making us so angry, is if this thing just really turning our knobs every day, all day, that means that you may have a specific calling to be able to execute a passion in this area. And whilst agitation and advocacy is good, and being able to lend your voice to these things, some issues need more than a voice. They need your hands. They need your heart. And I think it's great for us to be able to see a major issue that exists in our country and try to be able to lend to it. But the fact of the matter is that it needs more than your voice. Now, this issue that we're dealing with, if you start to really be able to look at the root of where this problem is, this ain't really no government issue. Like the last caller said, we could actually lean this more on the church or the lack thereof. But, you know, that's not our responsibility either, because they can get judged too if that's your faith. They can get judged too if that's what you believe, because that's what I believe. If you don't do your work, that's your business. I'm not here to row you and tell you you ain't doing your job. I can do my job. Now, I get cussed for doing my job, but I am going to do my job. The government of the Bahamas is void. This is me. This is what I believe. This is what I've seen. This is the evidence. The government of the Bahamas is void of all avenues of creativity. They don't know how. Successive governments of the Bahamas don't know how. They have created a sort of a burling wall that blocks youth, innovation, creativity, opportunity, these sort of an ideas that can help with the forward movement. They've blocked it to ensure that they could create a space for traditional people who've just been doing this for a very long time. So you have sort of a stagnant water of creativity that exists within government. And anytime you present them a new concept, they like it, they talk about it, and they will do whatever they can to kind of, you know, funnel it through the levels of tradition to take some things out of it, and then it ends up one of the just a program, but it has no significant impact. We're losing people in this country. I never see so much young, quote unquote, Junces in my life. I never see so much young Junces in my life in this country. I knew that, you know, for years your family would house you in a home, whether or not you have mental issues, whether or not you're on a spectrum. They take their time with you. There was always someone to be able to watch you. The only time that we knew that you existed, if you had an opportunity to be able to kind of, you know, walk into the road and wander to the road, and then people looking out here for your family and so forth and so on, then you get back in the house, your family take care of you. That's not happening in this country right now. I never see this level of, quote unquote, how we call vagrants in my entire life, how we call them Joneses. I never. I look at in these people, I could see push past that look like charcoal on your face. My God, that got to, whatever this stench is, as I try to be able to get close and try to what you want this $5 for? Because for some reason, people don't ask me for a dollar. Man, you can't give me $20. What the hell is this money, sir? You believe because I overweight, I must just give you more money? This is too much. This is what we're dealing with in this country. But I don't believe that we can just merely lend our voice to everything. I think we have to be able to lend our hearts to it and our hands. It's time, man. If you are compelled to do it, let's do it together. Let's figure out a way to be able to do it together. I'm still here. I've gotten a commitment for 20 pounds of chicken to be able to feed them, but I only can feed them one day. Jesus, I ain't got no bunch of money to be feeding them every day. I have trouble feeding my four. Well, I lie. I don't have trouble feeding my four, but they eat every day. To feed 250 people a day, that's just not my calling. That's not my ministry. But it's somebody's ministry. That I could give you X amount of dollars on a month-to-month basis, and you could do that. How much more you can give us money? I could give you $300 a month. I could give you $400 a month. I could give you $100 a week. That's my contribution. But you go cook the food. Lend your heart and your hands to something. And let's see the country move forward. Quick break, be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
The Whopper with cheese at Burger King Nassau has never tasted so good. It's made with 100% flame-grilled beef that's juicier, topped with fresh ingredients as usual, and even fluffier buns. Get a regular Whopper with cheese combo for only $9, including VAT, and enjoy a Whopper that's bigger, better, and tastier. The only place to get your Whopper with cheese combo is at Burger King Nassau, where it's grill time anytime.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. Somebody text me and I can read the text. I can read the text. Are you prepared? Let's go. So this text says, Howard, the church busy building a multi-level steel mega church with a lounge, a spa, and a 3D theater. Let's talk like this. There's a text that's coming through, right? Let's read the next text. So let's see exactly what's what. She says, Howard, $5 is the new $1. Sir, you're not going to hit me with the inflation, not on the streets. You are wilding out. You're going to need to take this dollar. Amen? In fact, you might have to take these four quarters. Don't fight me. If I got it, you got it. But if I ain't got it, you can't fight me. So let's be able to do this. So Howard, as a man, I understand not to have children when my ducks are not in a row. I don't know about other men, but accountability is engraved within my full name. He says, that young lady knew her situation. She have a child and she went and made another child. That must stop surrendering their bodies to beta males and bums and do better to solve the social issues. These women breed, this is a text that's coming through. These women breed and are entitled. No accountability. The governments of our society already give us issues. Why should we give others more? I won't talk about this and then I can take the telephone calls. I see the lines are lit right up. My God, we might have to change the conversation today. But anyway, I'm not going to fight you. Let's do it. The issue is not having children. The issue is birthing children to a lack of community. That's where the issue is. We lack community. We lack community. That's it. You're giving birth to children who are not being birthed into a community. The closest that you get to this is an idea of being able to have these parties that they call the birth parties. I don't know what they call it, right? This gender reveal parties, right? And then you're christening. And this is an opportunity for you to dress up and to look good and spend a couple dollars and get a nice background and take pictures and laugh and smile and so forth and so on. But it's just like a lot of persons place the emphasis on the wedding day and never place the emphasis on the marriage. A great deal of people place emphasis on
you know, the christening day or the shower or all these particular days, and never placed the emphasis on the development of the child. They never place it on mothering or parenting. But the emphasis is placed on vanity. Our priorities as a society are warped because we're not birthed into a community. There aren't many spaces and places that you can go to for wisdom anymore. We don't have access to your wisdom. We don't have access to your middle-class wisdom, a great deal of people, to your middle-class grandmother that you continue to be able to, you know, hover around her like the queen bee that she is. As you continue to be a worker bee and go out there, there's somebody else taking care of grandma. There's no one can access information from your grandmother. These young people don't know how to be ladies. My God, I just want to be decent. They don't know how to be ladies. They are women, yes, many of them. They're women. They can produce, they can reproduce, they can do this, they can do that. They got all the elements. But in terms of their mental capacity to understand and know that they're creating a child that needs to contribute to a society that we all care about, no one telling them that. No one telling them that. Because our society has been structured to pursue pleasure. Pleasure. Wealth, pleasure. That's it. These are the days of Noah. The only thing people are after is to be able to fill their personal coffers with pleasure, their own personal pleasure, and wealth or riches. And so when you give birth to a child, if nobody cared but your child and you never was taught how to care but children, this is where you find yourself. That's why many of us have to have our communities. That's what the LGBT is about, a community. That's what the Black Panthers were about, a community. That's what your political organization is about, a community. A village. It takes an entire community, a village, to raise a child. But if you're birthing them out here, the only village that exists is the one that you're creating in your environment that has mad ass or gun dogs or this or that or whatever these names are. And no one's taking this into account. All you're doing is just denigrating and pulling down the young woman because why is she getting pregnant? She's supposed to know. Who the hell tell her? Nobody tell her. How she can know? Nobody tell her. This girl might not even know how to read. You ever see one of their texts? They can't write. Who can tell them? Nobody. You ain't telling them. You're yelling at them. You ain't talking to them. We are no longer a community. Your church ain't no community. Never forget, I tell you, I was at the People Church, and the fella telling me, you want to go around, if you want, Howard, I want to go on tower all around the world, like Heinz ketchup. I want everyone to know me like Heinz ketchup. And I thinking to myself, okay, a couple things. First and foremost, all you're talking about is the 300 and some million people in America. That's one. Two, why are we getting all around the world, and you don't know the people that live right around the church? Less to say, that was my resignation from the church. Not that I put my resignation in, but he gets so hot, he cussed me. Nobody won't talk like this. Don't believe Jesus Christ. The poor will always be among us. That's what you believe. But if you have a pricking in your spirit, you don't need advice for that. Find a community who cares about developing that. Let me take a telephone call. Carl, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Hey, my brother, what's happening?
Good evening, good afternoon. How many of us prepared to go on Sanders Beach or wherever we see these people and let them come and spend a couple nights or days to our home?
You can't bring people in your house.
No, see?
You don't know these people?
No. Listen to what I'm saying. Someone's calling, and like, we so concerned. But yet still, we talking with one tongue, and with another tongue, we say, well, I ain't going to bring them inside my house. We don't know the situation of certain things. The best person to get this from is from the people of the Ponciano where they normally be. Ask these people, what is the situation? They may be giving you a different story. The line is long. If somebody being there for 6 months, well, the they're working. They get the little social service food slip. So the train, I go to school. What about the others who is out there waiting to come in? So you always have a backup. So in other words, where you going to put the people who outside there? Some got to come out. Some got to go back in. But then again, they will complain, say, oh, well, the government put us out. We don't have no place. So is the government supposed to let these people be there for 2 years, don't find a job?
But that's what, and I appreciate your kind of telephone call. That's what y'all put in these people's head. You put that in the young people here, they only get that from their mother, who our grandmother from 1973, when the PLP won, the first thing that Grammy said is, oh, baby, you get a job now and call an MP right now. The MP never had no accountability, never had no concept and idea for of how these things should be done. And the only thing they said was, go ahead, get a job. Yeah, take this business card. They signed the back of the business card, at the top of the business card. They sent it to these particular places. Now these people working, they had no training, no education, no nothing. This is what you put in their head. You put this in their head. That's why they will sleep in your building for 2 years. You put this in their head that the government's supposed to take care of me. You put that in their head. Not one person, I believe, need to take care of me, especially as a man. Not one person. I never begging nobody for nothing. My God, because one thing I learned in my life, especially as a man, nothing free. I can't get no amen, Jesus. Nothing free. One day out of seven, these man them come in to collect. And if they pay you too much, my God, you might have to cut, you have to pay, but I just want to be decent with you. Let's be decent. Let's talk like this. You put this in their head. You put this in their head. Oh, baby, the government can take care of you. You put this in their head. Oh, the PLP ain't doing nothing because the PLP didn't get it. You put this in their head. And the PLP helped brand it. Yeah, we're the ones who are going to be able to wipe down all your tears. Yeah, we're the ones who are going to be able to do all the heavy lifting. Yeah, we're the ones who are going to provide you a house even though you don't have no money in the bank. Yeah, we're the ones who are going to give you these particular things even though you don't qualify for none of these things. We can give it to you. You do this. That's why everyone can now protest. The government wrong now. The people can't live there for 90 days. Well, Jesus, what we can do? And I got a text to say, Howard, those things are still privately owned. I cannot remember that the government purchased that building. Now, I could go on a break and read up the stories and see exactly what's what. But I cannot remember the government purchased those buildings. I know personally that Landshark, which was supposed to be a hotel, was hosting people in those particular spaces who were didn't have any place to live, would come on from another island, or who was in social services, so forth and so on. Landshark, which was in need of significant repair at the time. Let's just shoot straight. It's how it was. It's how it was, and this is from 2020. Yo, let's be honest, man. You all put this in the people's head. Now the people expect you to be able to take care of them. They want you to... The next thing they want is transportation. They want housing, food, and transportation. That's room and board. My God, you think this is a university? This is the University of the Bahamas. Only thing, we ain't educating nobody other than slackness. That's the core education that we need to be able to get rid of. Slackness. My God, I never beg a man nothing in the day in my life. I got to work for that. Quick break, get the news, be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, the foundation, live and in full effect, just being able to talk about some of the issues that are happening throughout the country. He's got to be able to shout out all those good, decent people that really get a heart for these issues, that have a heart and passion to be able to see some things happen in the country. We're just talking about sort of the protests that happened on Bernard Road and those stages of being able to do those things. But I can't put the weight on the government, man. For me, the government's shifting. The government's shifting with society. And the tale of the shift is being able to be told across the last two decades, right? I want to say last three decades. Since 1992, we've been able to see this country take a significant shift. And I don't know what the introduction of the FNM being able to sort of level out the playing field. We were operating in a particular manner under the PLP for 25 years post-independence, and there was sort of an expectation that this is how things are done. But that, right, you know, scientifically they say it takes you 21 days to make a habit. It takes you 90 days to create a lifestyle. And 25 years we've been living in this sort of a state that rejected the idea of the Constitution, that rejected the idea of being able to move towards our own strength and identify those things that we talk about it, but it evades us on a day-to-day basis being able to live like this. We talk about it, but all we do is a relentless expectation and dependency upon a government. That's why y'all are political camels, many persons. They can't eat when their political party is not in. They got to store that up in their second hump behind their neck. I don't know where your hump is. Where did your back and your neck? I don't know where your hump is. Maybe in your second belly. Who knows? But you got to store that up for 5 years. That your talent, which is non-existent, only can be identified through the glimmer of what people you could get done for people based upon your proximity in politics. That's poor. And you'll call a radio station and cuss other people out, but not taking into account that you are the exact same people. And if it wasn't for your political organization throwing you a proverbial bone every so often to ensure that it keep your family of five afloat, you would be a goner. And right there on Bernard Road, looking for a room, cursing people out, saying, well, my 90 days ain't enough. Nothing to buy a day. I'm not saying that this is what they're doing. I'm saying that we in this country have rejected the idea of our own strength. And all we do is relentlessly lean on somebody taking care of us. The devil is a liar. I want to introduce you to my good friend sitting in the studio with me, Garth Roseboro. Garth, say good afternoon to the people out there, my brother. I appreciate you for joining me today. I know you're a busy man.
Howard Grant, it's always a pleasure to sit with you. To look into the mind of Howard Grant. You are sitting right now in the seat of futuristic thinking in terms of the betterment of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And people may challenge you only because the older people feel as if the old way has brought us thus far. And the young people may challenge you because they do believe that it's their turn and that your time has already passed. But for such a time as this, the foundation exists. We have to discuss these matters, and everyone knows the truth. And the truth of this whole entire conversation is that the Bahamas is in need of a bridge to the future.
You know, we just started to talk, one of our good callers to call in, she indicated that there's a protest that was happening on Bernard Road. Mm-hmm. And they wasn't necessarily protesting the conditions that exist in this shelter on Bernard Road, you know, between the water depot, right behind the plaza, mm-hmm. right there, right? Mm-hmm. They're not protesting the conditions at the plaza. Now, they said that there's 30 rooms on rotation. This is the call that we get. There's about 30 rooms on rotation. The place may have 60 rooms, may have 90 rooms, may have 100 rooms, however much rooms the place have. Mm-hmm. But there are 30 rooms on rotation. Mm-hmm. And a family can go in one of these 30 rooms, and they only can stay in there for 30 days. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 90 days. She said 3 months, mm-hmm. right? So you stay in there for 3 months. And then the government say, okay, it's time for you to come out and somebody else to come in.
So they give opportunities for persons to be able to stay in this space for 90 days. And so I just wanted to know, what was the stipulation? What was the breakdown? What was the expectation? What was the government doing? Did they put them in some sort of a program to indicate that they're going into this home? Simultaneously, your number, your name is flagged within the Department of Labor. Simultaneously, your name is flagged within Department of Social Services, and almost trying to ensure that we could provide you an opportunity. None of this is happening. None of this is happening. All this is the government has come up with a program based upon our call. The government has come up with this particular program and indicated that there's going to be a rotation.
Mm-hmm. I think the government is right in this particular regard. I won't take long to say what I have to say. I see your lines all lit up. I tell you, you something else. You got these people calling. But look at the big yard, all the big yards, low-cost housing in the Bahamas. I know for certain, with all factuality, that there are people that have been living there for decades. Their family has been there for decades. Grammy been there, mommy been there, they there, the children there, and the grandchildren there. A lot of them ain't paying the government no rent. The government cannot get no rent from some of these people. Once you're in a government program, as you said earlier with me eavesdropping, these people expect the government to take care of them. This is not just a governmental issue. As a landlord, after Dr. Minnis gave everybody 6 months off from paying rent, that hurt me because after I caught hell trying to collect rent, these people expect the landlord to be the daddy and take care of them. They don't want to pay no rent. Oh, Lord, the roof leaking. Oh, Lord, you need to change the window.
Why do we play oblivious? Let's talk now.
Yeah.
Why do we play oblivious? Like, we don't really know what the expectations are. Now, I can tell you this story. Quick story. I come in the telephone line. Quick story. This is a very quick story.
Okay, listen.
5 pound lot. I don't know nothing about no 5 pound lot.
Okay.
This gentleman called me while I was already on the radio. This was about 6 years ago. Called me right here on the radio. So Howard, I want you to come look at this place. I own this apartment. But I can't get the people out. And my daughter, them, some of my children live in them.
Okay.
This is what he say. Right?
This is so a familiar story.
How much children you have? Just shy of 30 children.
Okay.
I say, okay, hold on, wait. Right? He say, yeah, but no one taking care of me. None of these things happening, so forth and so on. He drive me around, me and my wife driving around, because I don't know this man. She came with me. Right? So we riding around. He's showing me all this. This my apartment. That's my apartment. This my apartment. That's my apartment. So I said, well, how much children living? No, all these is different mothers, basically. Mm-hmm. You have insurance, right? And I said, after I let him go, because he gone, I sit down and talk to my wife. I said, baby, I can't help this man. Not that I can't help him. I refuse to help him.
He ain't need no help.
Now, let me tell you what happened. No, he's in the position where, I don't know if he's still with us, but he was in the position where he was very low.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to kind of put his affairs in order so these people wouldn't take some things from him. So I tell my wife, I said, baby, I can't help it. Mm-hmm. See, this is what has happened when chickens come home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
That's just this. When the cows come home, this is what it is. When the pigs grow hog, proverbially speaking, this is what happens. When you're going in there and provided a place for a single mother to live who had one child, but she didn't have no place to pay the rent, and you paid the rent in a particular manner.
But Christianity says to you, too, that I need to be soft. I need to be a lending hand. I need to be compassionate. We've all been there. I'm guilty of it, too. We've let our guard down, Howard, and people have taken advantage of that to the point where they say, you owe me. How the heck I owe you? And I'll say this to you before you take your call off. This is why in New Providence right now, you, Howard Grant, is almost impossible to find an apartment unit right now. The landlords are sick and tired of taking care of other people, and they're going to Airbnb. And right now, a one-bedroom apartment in New Providence is $900 to $1,000. You break down all the shanty towns, these people are working. I use the word working and getting paid, and they're paying the $900 a month where the Bahamian cannot afford to do so. Cannot. So we're going to have a whole lot of homeless people, so the government better find a whole lot of facilities.
Because a one-bedroom unit for Bahamian, for the most part,
a three-month rotation,
is basically one family.
It's supposed to be.
But a one-bedroom unit,
supposed to be,
for these persons who are not of our ilk.
Okay, that's three families.
Seven. Let's be decent.
Well, them is seven, but you have to put your foot down again.
Okay. You can't bring Jesus in this conversation.
So I could afford $50 a week. You could afford $50 a week. That one could afford
$900. But the economy is so bad that I just need my money to pay my bills.
Let me take a telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Brother Grant.
Hey, my brother. What's happening with you?
What's happening? God bless.
Hey, my brother. It was good to hear from you yesterday.
That thing still on with be talking about yesterday.
Two party and one vitamin, sir.
Yes, sir. And you say you
and want a cocoa bread.
I want a piece of pound cake with my own.
All right, sir.
But Howard Grant, listen to me, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I thank God for social service.
Mm-hmm.
When the government had put the Honorable Obi Wilchcombe at social service, I thought that was a disservice to him. I always had him for a tourism man. But I thank God that they had put him there. That is where I met that fine lady, Miss Dawn Lee Penn, after having a conversation with my member of parliament.
Well, he could get in, eh?
Miss Dawn Lee Penn and social service, I got to get a surgery done on my eye through the Bahamas government. So Obi Wilchcombe was there in the time to help me. But I want to switch over just a little more on God's side a little bit now. Let's talk, let's be sir. Politics.
Mm-hmm.
I was laying down this morning, and my mind run on the Deputy Prime Minister, Mr. Chester Cooper. I said in 2017, if Mr. Cooper had run for the PLP or Mr. Cooper had run for the FNM, he would have won.
No.
Yes.
If he had run for the PLP in 2017, he would not have won.
The FNM in 2017, he would have won.
He won.
Listen. If he had run for the PLP in 2017...
He won.
No, I'm saying it as an introduction into politics, he would have had a difficult time.
But he won as an introduction to politics in 2017.
Hold on. Wait.
17.
He won.
When Minnis was the prime minister, Chester stood in opposition along with Glenys Hannah Martin, along with Philip Ray Davis, and along with
Faisal Forbes. Go ahead.
And the prime minister.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, I see three... So far, I'm studying this politics thing now.
Oh, you're studying?
I know as soon as I hang up, see Allen John.
Yeah, but see Allen already didn't say all your studies go to naught.
No,
ahead.
No, watch, all my studies went to naught. Then I said that Shane Gibson would have got the nomination
and mic out.
I lost that, but Shane Gibson is a PLP. Then I said that Kobe. When I said that Robin Lyons was going to win, yeah, that they're PLPs. But when I told him that Kingsley Smith was going to beat Bishop Grant, the FNM. That didn't come to naught.
Well, they cussed me for that, too.
But hold on, let me speak while I close. There's about four people right now, three to four people right now.
Call the names quickly.
In this election coming up, if they run for the PLP or FNM, they could win.
Let me hear the names.
People like Loretta Butler Turner.
Okay.
People like Don Lee Pan Markey. Huh?
Go
listen,
ahead.
I can save the next two.
No.
I
guess. Can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
You can't put your hand in the plow and turn back. You got to go to
the You can't do that. Go ahead. Give me the next two.
Give me
the next two.
All women, Patricia DeVoe.
Okay.
You said Patricia DeVoe, where does she run, PLP or FNM?
Patricia DeVoe is a PLP.
Okay, go ahead. Give me the fourth one, quickly. Give me the fourth one.
I just call that name.
Give me the fourth one. You're trying to beat around the bush. Let me hear the last one.
Give me the fourth one.
Put the fourth one on the table.
No, give me the fourth one.
BLT and deal with the DM, the DP.
Give me the fourth one.
Put the fourth one in the. Who's the fourth man in the fire?
God.
No, that ain't true.
I'll leave it.
You want to say Robin Lyons. You think I dummy. I noticed what you want to say. You want to say Robin Dawn Lyons. You want to say Robin Lyons.
I say Seabreeze might be open.
Sir, you are wilding out.
We can leave you alone right now.
Seabreeze may be open.
Open for what?
With Leslie in there?
Some people might
and use a PLP?
Sir,
what are you saying on the people radio?
Know some things.
You know some things?
I heard something in there too, though. You know, I have a house in there.
Sir.
I got a house.
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Let me take the next telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Howard.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Anton?
Yeah, I'm fine. Good afternoon to you and good afternoon, God. Good afternoon to the nation.
Good morning, Ambassador.
God, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You sound strong. Someone called your name to me this morning.
All right, we got to have a little conversation then. Hopping on this topic. This really and truly is, it's not a mystery. It's not a puzzle. But this is like a big conch salad batch mix in conversation that y'all got going on. Howard, let me break it down just a little bit. Howard, you on one side talking about the beam and calling them beggars. You get callers and texts into your show talking about the behemoth, who for many reasons they have fallen into disrepair and challenging reasons, right? Many legitimate reasons, maybe some illegitimate, or maybe some not acceptable, right? But find themselves in these positions nonetheless, right? And on the flip side, Señora Michelelli?
Yeah, go ahead.
On the flip side, you have the University of the Bahamas, who just released Volume 2 of their cost of living analysis, which informs that it would take around $3,500 per month to sustain living at a poor or working class level in this country, and who just recently, and it's in newspapers, I imagine, today, released their most recent analysis, which states that it would take around $10,000 for a middle-class Bahamian family to survive comfortably in our country, right? You get me clearly, Howard?
Yeah, Anton, go ahead.
On the flip side, see, and I'm trying to, I'm seeking deliberately to expand the thinking so that we could get out of the rut or out of the muck and mire and look at the big picture and understand what's really happening around us and to Bahamians in our own country. On the flip side, you have the actuarial experts who have explained at social services that we need to engage, we need desperately a bigger working class in the country, right? A bigger working class of Bahamians in the country. However, the statistics division released in their analysis that we are experiencing a loss of procreation, right? And we are experiencing an overwhelming aging working population in our country, right? I'll end with these last 2 points and leave you all to try and get into the discussion if you also choose to attempt. You have the unemployment figures, which stand at around 8.9%, right? Which is perhaps a percentage down from where they last were, right? However, in reality, those numbers don't represent sustainable employment in any real and acceptable level, right? And then we have going on in the midst of all of these statistics, which tells us where we are as a country, if you understand how to analyze and add them into the mix of conversations to help to edify behemoths, we have in the mix of that the muck and mire conversations that are taking place. We have the mud throwing. Look, even in the great United States of America, today, right now, in the eve of the elections, they are discussing heavily how they can further support Americans, the great United States, the greatest superpower on the planet Earth, right? That's not just militarily, right? They are discussing how they can best and further provide support, social assistance, right? Make Medicare more affordable for Americans, and ensure that they create more jobs for Americans, ensure that they create better savings for Americans, right? Here we are on the talk show today, which is why we find ourselves not being able to take advantage of, come together to take advantage of the existing opportunities in our country for behemoths, because we get so caught up in the muck and mire. We need a bigger population. We need behemoths having more children. We need to expand.
But I don't know how I get to be. You indicated that that's a part of my. You say that I'm calling behemoth beggars.
Yes, Howard, you said it. I didn't say it. I'm listening to you.
I said I've never asked anyone for anything.
I understand.
So you interpret that by me saying that I calling Bahamian beggars. I've said that the condition and the environment that was set from 1973 by our forefathers that says go to your MP and get something. You translate that as me saying Bahamians are beggars. I've indicated that this is a conditioning in our society. And those of us who are lucky enough, blessed enough, to be able to have people who apply themselves can find ourselves in the position where we recognize that no free lunch exists. None. None. Quick break. Be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Transform your home for less at Kelly's House and Homes Holiday Paint Sale, Friday, November 1st through Tuesday, December 24th. Enjoy 25% off house and spray paints, plus 20% off paint supplies, excluding net items. Our wide selection of paint colors is the perfect way to bring holiday cheer to your home. You'll also find the best selection of brushes, rollers, and pans, glue, ladders, paint thinner, and more. So catch the holiday spirit and paint up for Christmas at Kelly's House and Homes Holiday Paint Sale.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. You know, I said something over the weekend. I had a great opportunity to be able to get a little something, right? A little contract. I applied for some. All those persons who are working with the government, who knows how to be able to get on the bonfire system and who puts in bids for these various things that pop up. Would you like to do this? Do you think you want to do this? Do you have this is what's required for this? Can you get these particular things done? Anyway, I'm on the bonfire system, had a great opportunity, put my guys to work. And I thought about it this weekend because I'm there with them as they're doing some work. And I realize it's like, you know, sometimes we get ourselves inflated. We forget where we come from and we look at where we are and assess ourselves based upon our immediate position. And we understand a few things. If you have introspection like me, I just think about myself and I say, I've always done this. I've always been a laborer. I've always been a worker. I don't beg for nothing. I just go out there and work. And so working this weekend, trying to be able to get something done the entire time, I was grateful to God for the opportunity to be able to get this little thing. And it's just me. So I say, well, Lord, there's a lot of work, Lord, but I'm grateful to you for being able to get this. A few of the guys that I hired, first-time hires, because the people who was working with me, a few of them passed away, right? So it was like a family. And two of them passed away, right? I told you about this, their brothers-in-laws. And so it was hard to be able to get them, not in the right mind, so forth and so on. The team's broken up. I don't know. So I had to get a new team. I don't know these people, but they're working. And all I could hear is two is half Bahamian, half Haitian, and two is Bahamian. I have the full Bahamian fellow telling me almost every 15, 20 minutes, man, it's the hardest work I ever do in my life. My God. I don't know if he thought I was going to give him more money because he complaining about work, right? I don't work. I said, sir, I am overweight, and I know I older than y'all. I doing this work. What you making noise for? When the job done, the job will be done. The Bahamian, the Haitian fella saying to me, boss man, I need work to do. I need more work to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is the mindset, the shift in mindset that exists in our society. Mm-hmm. And as I'm working here, I say to myself, Lord, I remember when I was cutting grass in Grand Bahama. Lord, I remember when I was doing these things in Grand Bahama because I understood the importance of being able to work for your dollar. Now, Anton calls and he starts to talk about a bigger working class, but that's not even the conversation that we're having today. We said nothing about the working class. We said nothing about being able to build the coffers of the government with labor. We didn't say anything about that. We're saying that these persons in Burnett Road right now are sitting there for 90 days and they expect to be sitting there longer, but no one's saying anything about anything to us. We didn't know if these people working. We don't know whether or not they have any educational background. We don't know how much children they have. All they are, this conversation is about being able to move from one space to another. Mm-hmm. 90 days. That's all this is. You get 90 days, you're in, you're out. That's the setup with the government. That's mm-hmm. the row what happened in today. Understand? Mm-hmm. And so to be able to say that the Bahamian people are beggars, man, let's just shoot straight. Garth, you like to say, I'm a man. I never use none of my theological qualifications to be able to make $1 in my life. That's what you say. Mm-hmm. Okay? You said, I use my wit to be able to get to where I want. There are many Bahamian people out there that are using their wit, but there are some people who are conditioned to be able to use their arms. They only beg arms. Mm. We ain't gonna fight everybody because these people will always be with us. But our society has given up this sort of an idea of applying yourself to work, figuring it out, figuring it out. Some people have gone to a position that they're low vibration, and they use their bodies to get to their objective. I just want to be decent.
Well, Howard, I'm looking at our nation. I'm looking at the middle-class families that need $10,000 a month. I'm trying to figure out, what do you use $10,000 for? I don't consider myself to be impoverished. I don't consider myself to be ultimately wealthy. I do have my challenges because what happens to me most of the time, I put people before myself, and when you do that, they leave you out to dry. You will suffer in this country, and you have to learn how to now take care of yourself. I feel as if I've just been baptized and renewed. I'm living a different type of lifestyle now. The lifestyle that I've decided to live in the last few months, when I say few, I'm talking about 3 to 4 months now, is to ensure that Garth is okay. Because there are not many people who are going to ensure that you're okay. You're using your wit. You're using your knowledge. You're using your education. You're using your networking. And you give all of this to people in the name of God, in the name of church, in the name of religion, and they leave you out to dry. My last light bill, Howard Grant, burning lights throughout my home was $25. $25. And you've seen my house. It's not small, but I've learned how to discipline myself. I've learned how to spend in a thrifty way. I don't overspend, but I do take care of friends. I do take care of family. I do at times throw a yard or two, like they say, but it's not going to be every day. The Bahamian people have to understand that we are a developing country. We're not the United States of America. We're not Canada. We are an island nation, an archipelagic nation. And where we now live, we don't produce anything. We don't manufacture anything.
I don't understand
anything.
These conversations.
And so if you don't produce, you don't manufacture, then it says to me, Howard, that you simply want the world to give you everything for free.
Listen, we have a significant reduction as it relates to labor. We have even more people who are sort of disenchanted with the idea of being able to pursue labor. We don't have great incentives that the government offer for entrepreneurialism. They have good conversation about it, but they don't give any great opportunities. Most recently, we've seen the government take on this position with SBDC and providing $600,000 to some women that they've been able to do that have been waiting for an opportunity to see if they can get some men in there to be able to do some things and diversify the approach to being able to do this, right? I say that tongue-in-cheek, right? But nonetheless, we've seen them taking a few avenues to be able to do these things. And we as a people, we consume more alcoholic beverages in this country for people who are supposed to be, we ain't got a job, we ain't got a place to live, we ain't having no churn, we ain't got no this thing. But more rum has come in this country than anything that you could imagine.
So we socialize before we even put nutrients within our
body. So we don't prioritize, is what you're saying.
That's correct.
There's no priority set in here. And the reason is, if you don't get deep and down with it, the people need to forget about the fact that we are living in an impoverished position.
You know,
people drink every day. Jesus sent one another day. You got to drink today because the tribulation of yesteryear still exists with you when you wake up. And people don't want to deal with that.
Do you know where my strength comes from? Even if you are, like Sparky would say, he's not really a Christian-minded person, right? But if you really focus on the Bible for what it really is, it's a book of principles. If you live by principle only, and you look at the underlying invitation to a better lifestyle through this particular holy book. I can't speak for the Quran. I can't speak for the books that are Hindu-based or Buddhist-based. I cannot speak to the books that are Rastafarian-based, but I'm almost certain that the Rastafarian and the people in the House of Islam, that they have a discipline code. And these are people who have a good work ethic. I'm saying to you, Howard, that in your holy order, even if you're not a Christian, in your holy order, in your meek state, that you're not a devout Christian, but you just want to know principles that will assist you in becoming wealthy or becoming better off. You study this book anyhow. I'm not asking you to be a child of God. I'm just simply saying to you, open your mind to a better way. But what is happening is you're saying, you're waking up first thing in the morning and you got to find something to smoke. You read the article in the paper, The Guardian, where the guy got locked up for over weed and grubber? You saw that? Weed and grubber.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're looking for. You're looking for, what'd you say, rum? Aristocrat, you're looking for.
None of us are awoken to the tribulations that people suffer and endure on a day-to-day basis.
So why are they suffering?
The conversation that we started off here was is that there cannot be a relentless expectation that the government of the Bahamas takes care of you. There's not that.
What is the job of the church within Howard?
I said the government of the Bahamas. I was telling you, I was just going to get into that.
Okay, good.
The fact of the matter is that the church could provide for you. That from a biblical standpoint, they said that the poor would always be among you. The least that you do for, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me, which is okay. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There's an expectation that the church lends arms to you, that the church provides you an opportunity. Yes. The church rejects you. The church builds buildings and all these edifices and all these other things like that with no consideration. No consideration for nobody with no money.
Okay, I want to say this to you, Howard Grant. I know time.
The church got to go to the real bank to get real money to build a real building to accommodate people who ain't got no money to ensure that they could take care of these particular things. The church don't think about that.
Okay, so guess what? Before you go to the lines, I see them lit up again. Watch this now. If the government doesn't want to assist you, Howard Grant, if the church cannot assist you,
the government assisting you.
No, I said, if the government isn't sufficient, then let me put it that way.
The assistance from the government can never be sufficient.
Okay, good.
Because you got to help everybody.
The church is not sufficient. Let me use the word sufficient.
The church is non-relevant.
Okay,
hold on. They don't help you on a regular basis.
I want to get to a point here, Howard. The government, the church, your parents, your brothers, your cousins, and your extended family, friends, and former co-workers. If all seven of those are not assisting you, I want to say this, Howard Grant. The problem has to be you.
The problem
there's some people you just can't help.
No, the problem ain't you.
What you mean it can't be you?
The problem is the community.
Community?
Yeah, that's the seven.
You got what they call suckers in every community, and no, nobody wants to help the sucker.
But the seven in that particular community that you speak of just now are all pursuing things for themselves. Nobody wants to be in poverty. The majority of us in this country are working class. That's all we are. There's no middle class here. There's sort of an idea that exists that there's the middle class here. There's the working class, and then there's the rich. That's it. The middle ground has been eroded for years, for 20-some years that have been eroded in our society. People out here like to make you believe that they're working class. They pay in for their car note $500. They pay in $1,000 for their rent. They pay in $350 for their food on a regular basis. They pay in $250 a month for gas. They only getting paid $2,700 a month, but they look like they're making money. They ain't got no money. Where they
but
got
Howard,
money from?
Okay, me, I make enough money to take care of me, right? And I have a little extra to give away. Sometimes I fall short. I'm like every other behemoth. Listen to me again, Howard. You know where I live. I live far. And I'm going to let my neighbors hear this today. I'm driving down Carmichael Road heading west. I see my neighbor on the side of the street.
You leave him again?
I press in gas. I press gas like I never pressed gas before. You know why?
Because you was a part of the same community that you just called.
I can tell you why. Because
ain't nobody taking care of you.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. If I touch my brakes, that's money. Because you got to buy new brake pads. I got to pay for oil, spark plug, transmission fluid, radiator fluid, flat tire, getting the car clean. All these things is maintenance for my car. I'm working every day, but I bought a car.
For you?
For me. When I go home, you want to borrow sugar, you want to borrow cream, you want water, and you want to ride in my car. So I said to you, why don't you clean the car for me? You know what you tell me? $20, boss. That's why I ain't stopping for you no more. You won't ride for me, but you won't charge me to ride in my car. You sit up in my car, and you won't make no contribution. You go to work, I go to work, but you don't want to buy no car? No, man, I ain't giving you no ride.
This is hilarious. I just want to be able to put this in quick.
You can walk. Oh, you can walk. I ain't stopping. You ain't crossing God no more.
Let me take this quick break, guys, and get right back after this.
The foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Great news! Ront Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ront's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ront's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ront's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255. 267.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation live and in full effect. Do we have that caller on the line? Let me see if we can take the next call then. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard, how are you doing?
I'm good. What's up, Sialan?
Give me a minute, Howard. I stayed with you. I listened to your whole thing online while you went from the 12, from the 1:30 break to now.
Go ahead.
To make a point. You know, I have a letter that addresses the issue you're trying if you have the courage.
I think you just said it. You sent it to me, right?
No, yes. Okay, I'm saying, just read it. It deals with the... it deals with the domestication of poverty in the Bahamas. I'd just like for you just read it to the people. I'm saying it's probably going to take you about 2 minutes to read it, but it kind of addresses what Anton is trying to say. And so, like, how you guys talk about the whole concept that as if to everybody who is below this middle class line is there because of drinking and drinking and whatever. These are minorities within our country. And one of the things that we're not good at is statistics. And like, so how are we talking about this middle class without any defined threshold of where middle class is? But using the global acceptable standard, the figure could be right. But remember now, that figure would have to be two-thirds of what we consider the income threshold, and it could go up to 200%. So when we look at that being two-thirds, multiply by 1.5, you end up with $15,000. So that means anybody who is earning between $10,000 and $45,000 a month in the Bahamas is considered this middle class. And then you have the working class, but then you have another class in the Bahamas, is the underclass, which doesn't meet that working class, and that's where the poverty and the abject poverty, et cetera, falls into place. And so when you begin to extrapolate from these studies what even is not said, you can see the crisis as a country we are economically. Because since 1973, we have grown from a $600 million a year GDP to a $16 billion a year GDP with only double the population. Yet these societal deficiencies have remained. And I think that...
Have they remained or are they amplified?
No, they've been amplified. Because you know why they amplified? Because understand, imagine 200,000 people in your country, $600 million of the GDP. You now have 400,000 people in the country. Let's say if you double the GDP, that would be 1.2 billion. But we had 16 billion, 10 times, 50, you know, 12 times that. But yet, the growth of the middle class and the shrinkage of the underclass or even the working class has not sustained.
So is it safe to say, what I started off with, the government has nurtured an environment where they provide for you, and then when you can't take care of yourself after they've gone, so forth and so on, you're left people in this kind of a stupor that says, well, who can do something
right for
me?
No, right. But you know why, Howard? Because in every developing country that we claim to be, just like China and other places, you have what is called a defined social safety net. No one in the Bahamas could define that social safety net other than giving handouts. The social safety net is where we talk about education and the kids in school and medical, and they plug into for skill sets and the opportunities is there. We are good at talking policies, but policies are blueprints to the future, and you can't find a written policy anywhere in this country for the last two decades.
Wow. I appreciate your telephone call, C. Allen. Thank you so very kindly for that. Let me see if we can take the next telephone call. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. This caller could kill me. I know that he's been waiting for some time for being able to come on there. Let me see if we can take the next one. Caller on the line, thank you so much for holding. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Go ahead, caller. 323-622-32-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. On the line, if we could be able to do that, I had my producer being able to call one or two persons out there so we can be able to have this kind of a conversation. But Garth, this is where we are. This is where we are. I'm disappointed to be able to identify these things. I'm disappointed that there's an expectation that we continue to be able to sort of grovel at the feet of government for the government to be able to take care of us. But I also simultaneously recognize that this is the conditioning that they've placed us in.
Okay.
That they've placed us in this sort of conditioning. My father's father is born in Turks Island. My father's father. Okay. My father was born in Spring City, Abaco. My father's father was born in Blue Hill, Turks Island. Everybody from his loins works hard. It's just how, that's how we make our money. From when I was 14, I never, listen to me. I wanted clocks when I was a little boy.
That's $100.
Everybody was little boys. It was $120. This was the good clocks now. They don't get, this was the good clocks.
You had an eye stitch or which one?
I wanted the eye stitch one. Right? I was in the eighth grade.
So you use a dready?
Right? No.
You wanted to be a dready?
I had the diamond socks, the whole thing, right?
Yeah, you wanted to be
and
a dready.
And so I wanted this. Yeah. And I said my daddy wanted to pay a class.
You look like a little glove type.
My daddy look at me and say, boy, you better stop talking mess and go get a job. I in school. If you want something, go get a job. From before that, I work every summer. And even when I'm working in the summer, I wash cars, I cut grass, I paint house, I do all these things my whole life to keep money in my pocket. And when I went to the store and I realized I had $300 in my pocket, the clerks cost $120. I said, you know what? This don't make sense. I need the clerks that bad. Because if I bust it up, it's almost half only on a pair of shoes. I said, Lord, I can't do this.
So I
bought sketches when they first come out for like $30 or something.
No, man, you're cheap. That's a cheap fella.
God, when you're working for your own money, you have to think logically. Nobody giving you nothing.
When
you
I was
to think about how you can preserve these things.
I was going to a wedding for the Millers. And my mom gave me $100. I went downtown. I saw an off-white shoe for $100, and I bought the shoe for $100. That was my mommy money, right? You're right. When I went to college, though, that's when I got my first pair of tready clocks. I used to wear them other church clocks before that. I went to Queen's College, I used to wear clocks, and Buster Brown, they were my brands. But not until I got older. But right now, I don't need no Jordans and no Nike this and Nike that. I just want something on my foot to keep my foot from getting dirty. So, like you said, I don't understand why Bahamians feel as if... I'll tell you what it is.
This is the conditioning that they come from.
No.
Turks Island people,
listen,
Haitian people who come from outside of our jurisdiction, they work for their money.
But you don't understand what's happening.
They work for their money.
I know where this came from. Not only the drug era, it also came from the prosperity gospel era. That if you believe that you are anointed and appointed, if you believe that God has purposed you.
Rent money. God can give you that back.
God can make sure you get that.
Give the $700
to God. You don't need no cube. You don't need no Paso. What you need is a Mercedes Benz. And let Jesus' name be praised. What you need is a BMW, huh? Mm. What you need is a two-story house, huh? You need to live by the beach.
So that's the contribution that the church has made.
But the whole country is a Christian nation, and the whole country believes that God is going to send them what they need.
I would never forget this church that I was going to in Freeport. I fell in hard times.
You've been in hard times?
Oh, yeah, because I don't ask nobody for nothing. I got a little pride. I'm working on that.
Well, you've been using Ambi all your life. You sound like your skin is.
No, you ain't had no hard life. That's how I come out.
You see how black I is?
Now watch.
I was born your color, you know.
What I mean hard life, God, I don't ask nobody for nothing. People who know me know that.
Yeah, I don't
ask. If I ask you for something, I need that so bad. Jesus, Jesus, I might die today. If I ask you for that, I might die today.
Yeah, I need that.
I can need that.
I need that little thing.
But if you ain't got it, then okay, I might just have to die, right?
Yeah.
But I don't even ask generally for that, right?
Yeah.
I lost my job. I couldn't take care of my family. I didn't know where to go. I had too much pride to go back to my house in 8 Mile Rock, to my family in 8 Mile Rock. I was in a bad space.
Yes,
I was in a bad space.
I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
And in that kind of a bad space, I got back to work. I got back to being able to do these things. I did what I had to do to take care of my family. God, I don't beg nobody for nothing.
But the average Bahamian is in a bad space, and a good space is when they can beg you and get something from you because they're smarter than you. That's the way they think.
But listen to me. All of us live under one umbrella in this society.
You think
one
so?
One umbrella.
You think so?
It's only one umbrella.
They ain't need no umbrella.
There ain't no second umbrella.
You don't think so?
One umbrella in this society. Either you got it or you don't got it. That's it. And I see people out here right now, people like the fella all over the place cussing out, saying how it broke and how it this and how it that. God, from here to God, I could have 58 children. And God, no. I ain't never bring none of them. Every one of them I dedicate to God. God, you got to take care of this one. I know you can give me the money for this. But you got to take care, and I take care of all of my children. I don't ask nobody for nothing. Now, I'm not saying that I better than no one. But you have to have a resolve in your spirit. You have to have a relationship with supremacy to understand that life ain't only about your education. Life ain't only about your relationship. You have to have something higher so you can grab onto something for sustainability. These things are fleeting. They are fleeting. And that's if the preacher's giving you prosperity message and ain't giving you word that you could be able to anchor to, that could hold you in a time of storm, that's where we're losing it.
Well, very quickly before you close, Howard, Alexander the Great said he needs three things on his deathbed. One, he wants the doctors, the physicians, to be the ones to carry his body. The second thing he needs is for all of his spoils from all of his conquerors to be laid out before the path as he goes to his grave. And the third thing he needs is both of his hands to extend outside of his coffin. Simply saying that, yes, I conquered the world, but a physician cannot save your life when you're on your deathbed. and the things that you have actually accumulated in your life you can't carry with you. You're going with hands open, with nothing in it, because you came to this world with nothing in it. That's the way we live.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show today. Tomorrow is the election. We were supposed to talk about that today, but we're going to be talking about post. That tomorrow. No, it's not going to be post. We're going to be talking during the election tomorrow.
So during?
It'll be the elections be all day long.
So we'll be drinking tomorrow. We're drinking coffee or tea. You got to drink something.
For Trump and Kamala?
Yeah, man. You can't do that sober.
We may have to drink 5-hour energy. We need a 5-hour energy. Or 5-year energy. 4-year energy. It's going to be a long. 96.9 FM radio, guys. It's a great day. Great opportunities. You're going to see you tomorrow. God spare life right here on The Foundation.
The Foundation.